I believe that we ought to, you know, really walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit all the morning, I heard Jesus talking to me. My, he talks so beautifully. And usually when he wants to talk with me, he won't let me eat anything. And when I don't eat anything, he talks with me. You know, when you walk in the Spirit, you hear people's thoughts. You hear what they think. Jesus perceived their thoughts in his spirit. Now, you can play a guessing game, you know, and you can kind of look around and see somebody's face and say, well, he's just, you know, he's on a sour lemon or something. But that ain't very good discernment. But you can hear him speak to you in revelational tones and make you to understand. He'll speak to you in many ways, and you can understand people's thoughts, whether they're good or bad. And, of course, that's what I was doing a while ago. Jesus perceived their thoughts in his spirit, and he said, why does thoughts arise in your heart, thou hypocrite, he said. So, see, it's like a few days ago, I heard the Lord, and the Lord said, I want you to go to Elijah Park. Well, I thought, all right, if that's what you want. So, as I said the other night, Sister Betty went off somewhere to eat lunch, her and some sister. So I said, well, to Elijah Park I go. So I went in and I packed my little old pieces and I got them all together. Hard thing, like I said the other day, it was a rough time. But I got them all together. I finally figured out what I could put together. In just about time I got ready to go out, here comes Sister Betty. I couldn't find the key. I looked and I couldn't find the key. Because Betty was upset and she said, was you going without me? I said, yeah. And, but... you know, I said, now, Lord, if you don't want me to go now, you're telling me to go. And if you don't want me to go now, you'll have to stop me. You'll have to tell me something. And sure enough, Betty came in just in time to help the Lord with that situation. And she really was disturbed because usually she goes with me about everywhere I go. I think I went off one time into Mexico and left her at home, and then she about had a fit. But anyway, I come back and she was crying. I try not to do that no more. But the Lord stopped me. So about 2 days, I guess it was, a day or two, just maybe the next day, I don't know when it was. But anyway, just a little bit after that, Brother Collins called and asked me if I'd come into Elijah Park, that they was having a meeting in Elijah Park. And sure enough, they had rented a place there in Elijah Park, and they was having the meeting in this building. Some of you went, a number of you went up there, and it was having a meeting in this Elijah Park. See, the Lord will talk to you. The Lord will tell you his will. God will tell you, and then the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. And we have to listen real good. The Bible said, and the Spirit speaketh expressly to tell us what he wants us to know. But we really have to listen, because if we don't, we'll get it all scrambled up, and we'll do wrong, and we won't follow the Lord. The Bible said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And what we want to do is be led by the Spirit of God. Right now, the Lord is trying to do something. He's trying to keep the church clean. Don't get yourself all dirty now. I don't pick these sermons. I don't never know what I'm going to preach till I open the book. Just now, I opened the book just then. I thought, well, what am I going to preach? And I opened the book. And the first thing I seen, it said, wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. So that's what I want you to preach. See, walking in the Spirit. And we don't want to get ourselves dirty. I preached to you the other night. He said all the land was filthy. And I'm going to give you this land, but you're going to have to cleanse it from one end to the other. See, to walk in the Spirit as he is in the Spirit, to know his mind and to let his word and spirit agree. And so then, in this, we can move into this great thing that he's doing. According to what I understand with all my heart, all truthfulness, last night closed out an era. It closed out a move of God as to one of the greatest men that I have ever known of. One of the greatest men perhaps has ever walked in the earth. But last night it closed out. That was the closing out of it. And today, this had to do with a new move in the earth and a new thing in the earth and something great and mighty that God is going to do and that God is wanting to do. So don't get yourself dirty. Stay clean. Stay holy. Stay pure.
Don't mess around with wild gestures of life and things that don't profit, and some little old frivolous nothing like passions. Get yourself entangled, a man and a woman together, some kind of state of affair when it ain't worth 15 cents, it ain't worth spitting on, you know, and throw your whole eternal security away in your whole life by going wild after some fleshly gesture. And don't do that. You've got the privilege to marry. You've got a wife. You've got a companion. If you're single, get you one. The Bible said if you marry, you've not sinned. And when you go to eat, don't be like an old hog, you know. You eat this heifer and you got to have another heifer. You have that heifer and you need another heifer. And the first news you know, you're out like a balloon. Don't do those things, folks. Don't defile your temple. Don't be ugly. Don't be unclean. Let God help you. See, let God bless you. God wants to bless you. Them are spirits. Them are evil spirits. And somebody said, oh, Brother Pike, I just can't control myself. I just can't help it, you know. David, one wife. Solomon, half a dozen wives. David, 10 wives. You know, I tell you what, when God gets through burning your fields, you can help it. I'll tell you what, after God set fire to David's fields and he burned David's field, do you know you don't find one place where David went after another wife? That ended the wife situation. He learned to control himself. God finally just rejected Solomon altogether, done away with him altogether, his riches and everything else, his whole kingdom. And so I said, well, I just can't help but eat, Brother Pike. It's the way I am that causes this. I know it. It's that devil and demon. It's that pig-like nature that you let Satan put there. That's what causes you to be like that. And what can you say? Demons and devils of every kind. I've heard people say, Brother Pike, I'll tell you about me. I love the Lord. But they say, I got a temper and I just can't help it, Brother Pike. I just fly off the handle. But I found out later when some folks smacked him in the right place, he stayed on the handle real good after that. So then you keep on. You're going to run into, you know, dog eat dog, they say. And you're going to run into something out there and you're going to grab somebody's bone out there that dog ain't going to turn you loose till he gets through with you. And he'll conquer your temper if you think you've got a bad situation. There's people that can help you with that. So then, I tell you, we need to pray. We need to fast. We need to study the Word. We need to be Christians. And we need to clean our lives up. And we need to get into where we can hear the voice of the Lord and tell what God's doing in this hour. The Lord's doing something in this hour. I mean, it's great and it's mighty. It's not a little thing. And like I told Sister Betty coming down the road, the Lord began to talk. I hadn't had anything to eat, so he began to talk. You know, on the inside, when you're born again and you're in the kingdom of God, you've been translated into the kingdom of God, then that means that you have the mind of Christ. And that mind on the inside will talk through your outside being. That is, it will transmit through your outside being. Your body's like a dispenser. And on the inside, God will dispense himself through you to the listening ear. And the mighty Holy Ghost of God, the Spirit of Christ, will bring you great and mighty things that you know not of, the Bible said. And you'll be able to speak great things. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, what's a lot of great words, you know? What good is that? Well, I'm talking about them kind of words that said, let there be a star, and there was a star. And the word that said, let there be a human being, and there was a human being. Said, let there be a pretty little girl running around Bethlehem in a long dress, and there was a pretty little girl. I'm talking about a word and a thought that said, let there be a great, beautiful pheasant flying across the field. A great, big, beautiful elephant with his snout going to and fro, you know, doing the St. Vitus dance. I'm talking about them kind of thoughts, them kind of words, that kind of knowledge. That's what I'm speaking of. I'm not talking about a brainstorm of some computerized system out here that the beast is going to use to imprison people. Where they go out here and they got a little piece of paper that they got from a bald-headed professor that says, now you're what I am because you've done lost your hair too. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about some real understanding, folks. I'm not talking about the knowledge that leadeth the man unto death and that kills. I'm talking about some real God understanding of the mind of Christ. Something that's great and something that's mighty and something that's wonderful. Something that's far beyond the wildest imagination. The Bible said higher than the heavens is from the earth. It has to be revealed to you. You can't even find it in books. You can't even find it in colleges. You can't even study it because it's not available. But I'm talking about something that comes from yonder's world. Say, oh no, Brother Pike. Oh yes, I know, because I feed on it. There's hardly a day goes by but what I don't feed on this wonderful thing. And but what I'm in tune with heaven and hear these wonderful, wonderful things. So see, you could never, with your intellectual brainstorm, you could never convince me that it ain't there, because I live in it, walk in it, and talk in it, and it's with me day by day. So I'm not talking of some wild something that I think. I know that of which I speak, Paul said. So then, let's keep ourselves clean. Let's be holy. Let's be godly. Listen to the scripture right here. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children, which thou didst give unto them. Behold, therefore, I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved with all them that thou hast hated. I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness. And I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged. And I will give the blood in fury and jealousy. And I will also give thee into their hand, and they shall throw down thine eminent place, and shall break down thy high places. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes, and shall take thy fair jewels, and leave thee naked and bare. They shall also bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stones, and thrust thee through with their swords. And they shall burn thine houses with fire, and execute judgment upon thee in the sight of many women. And I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot. And thou also shalt give no hire any more. So will I make my fury toward thee to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from thee. And I will be quiet and will be no more angry, because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, but hast fretted me in all these things. Behold, therefore, I also will recompense thy way upon thine head, saith the Lord God. And thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all thine abominations. Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children. And thou art the sister of thy sisters which loathe their husbands and their children. Your mother was a Hittite, and your father an Amorite. And thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand. And thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations. But as if they were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. And I, as I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her, and in her daughter neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abomination which thou hast done. Thou also, which hast judged thy sisters, bear thine own shame for thy sins, that thou hast committed more abominable than they. They are more righteous than thou. Yet be thou confounded also, and bear thy shame, in that thou hast justified thy sister. When I shall bring again their captivity, the captivity of Sodom and her daughters, and the captivity of Samaria and her daughters, then will I bring again the captivity of thy captivities, in the midst of them, that thou mayest bear thine own shame, and mayest be confounded in all that thou hast done, in that thou art a comfort unto them. When thy sister Sodom and her daughters shall return to their former estate, and Samaria and her daughters shall return to their former estate, then thou and thy daughters shall return to your former estate. For thy sister Sodom was not mentioned by thy mouth in the day of thy pride. Wherefore, or before thy wickedness was discovered, as at the time of thy reproach of the daughters of Syria and all that are round about her, the daughters of the Philistines which despise thee round about. Thou hast borne thy lewdness and thine abominations, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which hast despised the oath in breaking the covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. Then thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed. When thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder and thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord God. Now, it's a lot of scripture there. I read quite a bit. I tell you, that just about preaches for itself, don't it? That just about tells you the whole thing as I read. He says here in his word, how weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman, in that thou buildest thine eminent place in the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been as a harlot in that thou scornest Tyre, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. They give gifts to all whores, but thou givest thy gift to thy lovers, and hirest them that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. And the contrary is in thee from other women, in thy whoredoms, whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredoms, and in that thou givest a reward, and no reward is given unto thee, wherefore thou art contrary. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. I'd like to just talk just a few minutes. The other night, it seemed like I kind of got a little bit strong. I know that it might have seemed a little bit strong, but you see, look what the prophet is saying. See, listen what this prophet is saying. And this is God now. This is God speaking through the mouth of the prophet. The Bible said, and the word of the Lord came unto the prophets. And here is the word of the Lord coming unto the prophets. And God Almighty is speaking out of heaven. And this prophet is carrying this over. And the word of the Lord God says, hear the word of the Lord, O thou harlot. Hear the word of the Lord. See, this is the kind of day that we're living in. That's why that I preached the way I did the other night. That's why I was as strong as I was the other night. We're living in the day of the great whore, in the day of the great harlot. We're living in that time. See, one thing that we don't seem to understand, and that's because we don't move into Revelation. The church doesn't have the spirit of revelation, therefore they don't understand a lot of these things. One of the things that we don't seem to understand is that this world at this present time doesn't belong to God. Do you hear what I say, folks? That this world today at this present time doesn't belong to God. It is given under the hands and leadership of Satan. And that your government of today is not a government of God. And that your law of today is not a law of God. And that the things today that you practice in all of the things of the world, in trying to build houses and trying to get land and trying to have food and wanting beautiful clothes and automobiles and education and positions and careers, wanting to be dignitaries and wanting to be entertainers, that all of that is not of God. Every bit of that is not of God. Every bit of that is of Satan. Satan is the prince of this world. Satan, the serpent seed. All of that is the serpent seed, every bit of it. It's his regime, Satan. The serpent seed, he's got control of the world. The entire world. God doesn't have control of the world. Lucifer has control of the world. Even Satan said to the Lord Jesus on the mountain, said, all of these things are delivered into my hands, and I give them to whomsoever I will. And said, if you'll follow me and worship me, I'll give them to you. And Jesus said, no, Satan, no. He said, well, it's written that if you cast yourself down from here, he'll give his angels charge concerning thee, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone. See, he's also a religious fellow. He's also religious. He knows the Bible. He's a Bible scholar. He quoted the word to Jesus. Jesus didn't use the terms that I'm using here, but he said the same thing. That is, Lucifer, this is your hour. This is the time of the prince of darkness. And this is your hour, and this is your day. But my hour has not yet come. The sunrise of my kingdom is not yet. You've got your day, and you're the prince of this world, and you love the things of the flesh. You want to buy, and you want to sell, and you want to get gain. You want land, and you want houses, and you want all the things of the world. You want a pretty face and a pretty form. You want money, all of these things. You want education. But Jesus said, I didn't come for that reason. I'm not of this world. I'm not partakers with this kind of thing. I'm not of this world. He said, you're of the world. He said, but I'm not of the world. See, folks, I'm not of the world. I don't know what you are, but I'm not of the world. If you've been born again, you're not of the world. You're not in the flesh. You're not in this world. God has chosen you out of this world and chosen you up into the wonderful heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And we're not of the world. We're not in the world. We're not in the flesh. We don't desire the things of the flesh. We don't war after the flesh. All of them things that Mr. Reagan's is doing, Gaddafi's doing, and all them things over there, that's not my war. That's Mr. Gaddafi's war. Somebody said, well, where did it come from, Brother Pike? Well, I'll tell you where it came from. The Bible said, from whence cometh wars? Is it not from the lust that wars in your members? That's where the war came from. It came from Mr. Gaddafi's lust. It came from Mr. Reagan's lust. It came from the lust of the world. It came from the things of the world. It didn't come from God. See, the Bible said in the day when God avenges himself of his adversaries, that in that day he'll bind Lucifer, he'll put him in a bottomless pit. And the Bible said, at that time that I'm sitting on the throne, that nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountains, saith the Lord. See, God said to you and I, said, if your ways please me, I'll make your enemies to be at peace with you. But see, our ways has got to please God. We've got to walk in the Spirit. We've got to talk in the Spirit. We've got to be in the Word of God. You know, a lot of people think if you walk in the Spirit, that means you shout and jump and run and holler. That's not walking in the Spirit. That's little children playing games. I was explaining some of that to my wife today, of the little children. You know, when a little child comes into the world, it's got life. That the first thing that ever come about when God gave life to the church, a little baby, when it comes into the world, it's got life. You know, and the first thing it does, it frets and it cries, it hollers. You know, that's a good indication of repentance. When we first start coming to God, we repent of our sins. We cry and we holler a little bit. And then after that, we get over into that world of understanding. They anoint the little baby's eyes and he begins to see. And after that, he gets a hold of a bottle and he gets pacified. You know, the milk of the Word, God gives to the church the milk of the Word. And then when God gives it the milk of the Word, a little fella starts kicking his feet. He'll holler, put his little hands on his feet and rub his toes and kick his feet, and he'll just roll and holler. See, that is the way the church has been because it was a baby. When God first gave life, that's the way it was, a Pentecostal life. Holler and just give them a little milk and they just shout, holler. You know, as a child gets older, they want to jump rope, they want to shoot marbles, they want to do the things of the world. See, they do those things because they're growing up, but they're still undeveloped. The Bible said they're still unskillful in knowledge. So then they desire the sincere milk of the Word that they might grow thereby. And God has let Pentecost people across the nation in the different parts of the world. People have shouted and they've jumped and they've hollered and they've had a good time. You know, Miriam did that and they had a good time. But the time has come to where a jump and a shout and a holler isn't going to get you into the kingdom of God. You can do that in the presence of God when you're undeveloped. But when you grow up, you can't do that. God won't anoint you to do that. You've grown up, and the Bible said that the parents must lay up for the children. And you've come to a place to where you've developed in knowledge. You've got to quit your jump roping. And you've got to quit your marvel shooting, as we say. You've got to get down to business with God. Did you know that's what's wrong with the world today? A few generations ago, people grew up from childhood. And they went out and they've done the things that men and women ought to do. Women bearing children and being mothers. And fields being reaped. Daddy's plowing fields. And they had beautiful little homes. Had healthy little children. See, because they grew up and they took responsibility. They knew what it was all about. But today you got a bunch of sissies and you got a bunch of people out there. Some women that's gray-haired running around in shorts. Somebody said, well, I think that's a horrible sight. I do too. Don't you think it's a horrible sight? And then there's a man 70 years old. He's white-haired. He's running around in shorts. Don't you think that's an awful sight? I really do. And I think a young girl about 18 and a man about 19 is twice as bad when you see them. So then, when we look at those things like that and we realize that instead of growing up and instead of taking the responsibility, instead of being about their father's business, they go out there and they want to get back out into the boating. They want to get back out into the playing around. They got toys. They want to play with them. They're not doing anything for God. They're not interested in God. They don't have any money to give to God or any time to give to God. They want to go back to their childhood. They want to go play. They want to frolic. They want to have all kinds of things that they can frolic with and things that they can get out into in the world and their pleasures and the things to entertain the flesh. The devil leads them out there in it. That's exactly the way it is with the church today. The church is in that kind of a condition. Instead of buckling down and travailing, the Bible said when Zion travailed, she brought forth the sons and daughters. Instead of getting into the travail of work and labor, they want to do like they do in the world. Out there, they'd rather con somebody. They'd rather spend the first few years in college so that they don't have to work any. They can sit around in an office and push a button and rip other people off that's ignorant and con them out of everything they got and call it smooth business or good business ethics. And that's the way the people of the church has gotten. He said, hear ye the word of the Lord, thou harlot. They've done the very same thing. See, they've grown up. They want to be cons. They want to be slick. They want to pull deals. They don't want to pray. They don't want to fast. They don't want to do the things of the world. They're not interested in those kind of things. They want to do what they want to do, and they don't want anybody to tell them anything different. And they want to go to a church where the preacher will never preach against it, never raise his voice against it, never lift up a word against it. And they want to get in a church to where they can get a bridle on the preacher and get a hook in his nose and say, see here, preacher, I give you $35 a week. You be careful what you say up there. You know, and get a hook in the preacher's nose, and believe you me, they do it. Hundreds and millions of them do it. And the preacher's always looking for something to say to where he won't hurt their feelings. And so then when he allows for this one, he's got a hypocrite over here. Allows a little for this man's wrong, he's got another hypocrite over here. And the first news you know, he's got a whole church full of harlots. That's why the Bible said, hear ye the word of the Lord, thou harlot. The whole church has become a harlot. It's become, as I said the other night, a pig pen, a dog, a place for dogs to wrestle over their bones. See, they have become a place of prostitute. They're not living holy. They're not walking with God. They're not going on doing the things that Christ commanded them to do. They're not growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it now. They don't know any more at the end of the week than they did at the beginning of the week. That preacher can have two or three services, but at the end of the week, they're just as blank concerning the things of God. They know about the ritualistics of the church, whether it's counting beads or whatever it might be. They know about the pool room, and they know about the frolics, and they know about the plans to go to Six Flags. And they know about the different things, you know, of the world. Betty and I coming through Houston, Texas, there while we was in the plane depot. While I was there, I looked, and there was a preacher. And there was his congregation. And here they were just hallelujahing around and praising the Lord, and they were on their way to Israel.
and they were going to Israel. And I looked and I thought, that preacher, he was over here and he was hugging on this woman. And then I looked, and in a few minutes, he was over here hugging on this woman. He was hugging, and I think maybe he got around to kissing. I'm not sure. But anyway, he was a hugging on one and hugging on another. You know, and I thought, I am a preacher. And I looked, and all the other women, they were just giggling because he was a hugging. You know, and then I looked, and here was a whole bunch of women around the preacher and a few other men, and they looked like they liked that spirit of hugging too. And all of them was getting into it. All powdered and painted up, you know, like a bunch of Jezebels. Their clothing, some of them wasn't fit to have on. And I thought, my God, no wonder the world's in the fix it's in. And the church is in the condition it is. Here is a preacher. And here is numbers of people going into the land of Israel, into the Holy Land, the very place where the Lord Jesus spilt his blood. And here they go there full of frolic, as drunk as they can be off of the things of the world, liable to get killed before they ever get back. No wonder the devil is devouring people. The Bible said, be sober. Don't be drunk off the cares of the world, but be sober. Because your adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he said, be sober and resist him steadfast in the faith. Folks, you can't resist the devil in the faith if you don't even know what the faith is. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word. And if the faith of Christ is not in your heart, you can't resist the devil. You don't know how to resist the devil. And then beside that, the Bible said, draw nigh to the word. Draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to the word, which is God. And the Bible said, and when you draw nigh to God, then you'll receive a strength. Then you'll receive an anointing. Then you'll receive the understanding of God. And then you can go forth and resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you because you'll have the strength to do it. Otherwise, you can't do it. So then people, just like those people, instead of growing up, they wanted to frolic. Instead of growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to be parents and get something spiritual from God that they might lay up for the people, they wouldn't do that. They'd rather frolic. They want to get back to their childhood. They'd rather play a little bit. You know, the Bible said concerning the people in the wilderness, the thing that upset God with them was that they sat down to eat and drink, and the Bible says that they rose up to play. Sat down to eat and drink, but they rose up to play. The children rose up to play. And that's what they're doing today. That's why God again said, hear ye the word of the Lord, O thou harlot. See, they're playing the harlot. They're not following after their husband. They're not following after the name of Jesus. You go to them and tell them about the name of the Lord Jesus and that they ought to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin. See if they do that. They won't do that. You know why? Because they are a harlot. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that people that are not baptized in Jesus' name are harlots? I mean to tell you that when a man or a woman hears about baptism in Jesus' name and they come to know that that thing is right, and if they're not baptized, they are a harlot. And God will count them as a harlot. You are a harlot just as sure as you turn away from baptism in Jesus' name. You are a harlot. I don't care how religious you are. I don't care who you are. You are a harlot. And the Bible said, hear ye the word of the Lord, O thou harlot. If you were the right kind of person, you would run to get to the name of Jesus. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, I'm always praying in the name of Jesus. I'm always calling on the name of Jesus. You harlot, you know that you are a harlot. You say, but I'm calling on the name of Jesus. I know. And the Bible said there will be hundreds and millions that will call on the name of Jesus. He said, for as I live, saith God, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that I'm Lord of lords. So then that don't mean a thing. And the Bible said, from your mouth, your lips, ye serve me, but your heart is far from me. Don't you know that a man's heart that was in God would delight in anything that the Scripture tells him to do in the name of the Lord Jesus? You know why you don't do it? Because you are a harlot. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? I mean this one thing, and that is that you are afraid that your associates will disfellowship you. You are afraid that if you confess him, they'll put you out of the synagogue, and the rest of the harlots will throw you out. You are afraid if you go after the name of Jesus that you're not going to have a ministry. A lot of you preachers are afraid that you won't have a ministry if you go after the name of Jesus. The reason that you don't have a ministry from God is because you are a harlot or a whoremonger. See, you've got to take the name of your husband. You've got to hold up the name of your husband. I said this the other night when that woman came over to the well and Jesus was standing there. Here the woman was a young woman. Here Jesus was a young man. And here this woman come over to the well. And Jesus said, go and call your husband. Oh, she says, I don't have a husband. She thought, now here's a nice, handsome, young Jew standing here. My. That old adulterous devil that was on her, that had already drug her through the mud and through the slop, and already had a number of husbands and was living with one then that wasn't her husband, thought, here's a handsome Jew. She said, oh, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, yeah, you had a whole lot of them. He began to name them, and he said, the one you got now ain't your husband. And all of a sudden she realized that she had gone to the wrong tree. You know, this wasn't what she was looking for. This wasn't her kind of a man. She thought she'd done had another one and this was her kind of a man. But this wasn't her kind of a man, though he was every bit man just like you and I. The Bible said Elijah was a man of like passions, the same as you and I had the same like passions. But brother, he was a different kind of man. When Jezebel got around him, though he was a man of like passions, he didn't give in to his passions. He controlled his passions. He put his passions, he directed his passions in the right way. And he said, you'll be eaten by the dogs and you'll be dung on the field. You'll be dung. They'll eat you up and they'll leave you as dung on the field, Jezebel. That's the kind of effect you have on me as a prophet of God. And here stood Jesus. Jesus standing there, and she thought sure she was going to get her claws into him. But when Jesus began to reprove her, she lost all of her desire for her adulterous ways. She lost all of her thrill to passions. She began to think about her soul and her future. And she began to think about that great mighty man of God that stood there before her. And she began to straighten herself out. And it wasn't long, instead of going around looking for somebody to commit harlotry with, she was out there telling them about God and telling them about Jesus. She said, you need to come and hear a man that I heard. You need to come and hear this man. Is not this man the Messiah? So then that's the way it ought to be with you and I. We ought to be sons and daughters of God. And when we go out yonder to preach, to tell, to testify, we ought to be able to convert the people by the hundreds and by the thousands. Everywhere we go, they ought to see a light. You know, I heard of a man one time, Finney, I believe he was, one of them that went into a place, got into this place of an industry, and he was so filled with the Spirit of God, he began to talk a little bit, and they had to shut the whole industry down because he was moved so with the power of God and anointed so with the Spirit of God. You know, folks, this is a sad situation, but you know it's true. There are some people that profess Christianity that they can go to the store, they can go living here like a place in Monroe or wherever in their hometown, they can go to town 100 times in a year, and they can stop at the bank, and they can stop at the service stations, and they can stop at the post office and wherever, but out of 100 times in a year, nobody will ever perceive that they're religious or that they belong to God. Somebody say praise the Lord. They're so conservative with their way of life and their doings. They're such a person that they are like a chameleon, and everybody that they get with, they change to that. They'll talk to them about fishing, and they'll talk to them about hunting, and they'll talk to them about making money, and they'll talk to them about their relatives, and they'll talk to them about vacationing, and they'll talk to them about anything that they can think of, but they'll never say anything about Jesus. If somebody happens to come up that's religious and they say something about their church, they say, do you know that I go to the first church? They'll say, oh, I go to church too. Now let's talk about something else. And that's as far as they'll go. And then they call themselves a Christian. Did you know that a person that is a real, genuine, blood-bought son of God or a daughter of God, it doesn't matter who they're with and it doesn't matter what they're doing, the first thing that they want people to know is that they are a child of God. and you don't have to go around and you don't see somebody like Brother Taylor sitting there, and you go up and say, "Praise the Lord, brother. Hallelujah." You don't have to do that either. That's not the way to do it. You know, you don't have to run up there and say, "Hallelujah," and make the man think you've lost your mind. And he doesn't know anything about hallelujah, praise the Lord, or anything else. That's not being a Christian. That's just being plain foolish. That's all it is. Like the Bible said, some that like the salutations in the marketplace, they like to be called of men rabbi. They love the long robes. They love to be in the upper seats of the synagogues. See, they want somebody to think they're real religious. That isn't the way to do it. You meet a man as a sober individual. You meet him as another person and you talk with him. And like Jesus said, do a little fishing. Put a little bait on the hook. Do a little fishing. Kind of set still a little bit. The Bible said a fool uttereth all that he knows. Some people, they meet somebody and they never give that person a chance hardly to breathe. They're just talking and talking and talking all the time talking. And that individual just, you know, like this, shaking the head and up and down and no, well, you know, they can't get a word in edgewise. And this man, he thinks he's just got them. He thought, praise God, I done won him, I done out-talked him, I got him here. And just as quick as that man, you know, he stops to catch his breath, that other fellow say, "Well, goodbye, I got to go." And off he'll go like that. And the next time that he sees him, he'll dodge him a city block away if he sees him. You say, "Well, I don't believe that." Well, I've done it. I've dodged them a city block away. I'd see them maybe a city block away or farther away and dodge them. I think, "Oh my God, I don't want to get around that man and that woman." See, so it isn't the right thing for you to go up and just try to talk somebody to death. Or just talk. You know, could you imagine going to a doctor and you sit down and you say, "Doctor, I'm here." And you start talking to him and you tell him all about the football game and the baseball game and tell him all about how much you make and who your mother is and your grandpa is. And before he can say anything, say, "Well, doctor, it's getting late. I got to go." How is the doctor going to do anything for you? How is he going to do anything for you? And see, just turn that around now when you go to soul winning. If somebody's going to talk, how's a preacher going to do anything for him? It's the same way if you go to win a soul. You've got to sit down. The doctor's got to sit down. He's got to take a little time. He's got to listen to you. He's got to find out the gripes and the groans and the moans and the things that's wrong with you. And he's got to try to diagnose them by his intellectual ability to diagnose. Out of his studies, through college or whatever it was. And then if that doesn't do, he's got to take you in there and he's got to put you under the x-ray. You understand what I'm saying? And then you've got to talk a little bit and say, "Doctor, I hurt under my rib here. And doctor, I hurt on the back of my neck here." And then you've got to shut up and you've got to let him talk a little bit. You know, and that's the way he wins souls. You've got to sit down if you're going to fish. Jesus said, "I'll make you fishers of men." You've got to sit down somewhere. You've got to be still just a little while if you ever plan to catch anything. And you got to sit there and you got to listen. Sometimes I've listened to people, I thought, "Oh my God, won't this man never get through?" And I've listened to women the same way. My wife would be sitting there and we'd listen and listen. And that woman, there's a woman that I know of, I've known her for years. That woman, I've always longed to talk to her husband. Her and her husband come around and I've always longed to talk to the man. But that woman is so running over till she don't never stop. I'm so glad when they leave, I think, "Oh, dear God." You know, I just forget about talking to the man. This has happened a number of times with that woman. See, people don't want that. If God is talking, that's all right. If God is telling you something, that's all right. I heard something last night. I heard many things said, and the person that did it, it was excellent. The way they presented it, their format, everything, their enthusiasm, the way they did it, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. But I thought in my mind, now, maybe you didn't feel like this, but when they got through, I said, "My dear God," I thought in my mind, "I don't know no more about what the man was trying to say than when he started." I thought, "I still don't understand what the man was trying to say." And I thought, "Lord, 20 years a man's been dead, and here this man is putting up nothing but a dispute, and he's disputing with people over it. You know, 20 years in the wilderness and they still ain't understood. 20 years they've wandered around. I told my wife today, I said, that's the way it was with Moses. For all of those years, 40 long years, they were in the wilderness. And they never did understand the law. And they never did keep the law. Even Paul, when he came along, he said, you've got the law. He said, none of you don't keep it. You understand what I'm saying? See, hear ye the word of the Lord, O thou harlot. We've got our own ideas a lot of times. We do our own thing. That is, unless we walk in Christ. And we go our way, and then we find ourselves cut off from Christ. We find ourselves doing the things that's not profitable for our heart, for our lives, for our future, for our family. And then comes the great judgment hand of God. And then we say, oh my God, I wish I'd have listened to the preacher. See, the Bible said, speak things that's easy to be understood. I was glad the other day I got a letter. I've got a number of letters like this. This letter from our radio broadcast, WLAC. And when the letter came in, this woman said, Brother Pike said, I really enjoy the ministry. Said, I really enjoy the message. She said, you present things in such a way a little child could understand them. Now, I love that. I thank God for that, because sometimes we get into the deep mysteries of God. But I try my very best if people don't press me too much. I try to detail it. I try to break it down. I try to bring it down to where we can benefit by it, where we can have what we need of God. But see, folks, if we're going to spend the rest of our life arguing about what this man said and another man said and what Paul said and what Elijah said and all these other kind of things, the Bible tells us not to do that. Not to even go back to what we call the genealogies. Don't go back to those things and dispute over them. Said it just gender strife. If we're going to be the kind of a people that's going to dispute over something that's been with us for 20 years and a man dead, trying to explain it, and then wind up like the man did last night saying, you can't understand it because it ain't time. And then he said, and I don't understand it. And then he said, well, the man said it, wasn't even sure he said whether he understood it or not. Don't you know you can't preach like that and get nothing over to anybody? It's for sure that somebody has got to understand it. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, you don't have to understand it. All you got to do is believe it. That's not right. I tell you again in the name of the Lord, that's not right. The Bible said, and the righteous shall understand, but the wicked shall not understand. If you don't understand, it's because you're messing with something, doing something you don't have any business doing, and messing with something you don't have any business messing with. It's just like me. I don't understand electricity like I'd like to understand it. I understand it enough that I can go over there and I can take that plug out and I can get to messing around with that wire, and that's just enough to get my head knocked off, as we say. That's just enough to get me killed. So the best thing I can do is leave it alone unless it's an emergency where I have to do it. I need to call somebody else that knows what they're doing, or I need to get in the frame of mind with Christ to where I can understand it and then save my life, or I need to leave the thing alone. See, ministers running all over the place out here, ain't even out of their diapers. Men that's nothing but novice running around just it's pitiful. And they're trying to tell everybody how to live and how they're the great champion of the earth and how God has sent them in the earth and how they're going to gather the people together. And all you got to do is give me enough money to get on television in a big tent and you'll see what I've got. And you can't even get them to live for God to begin with. What kind of foolishness is that? Paul spent his life practically at the feet of Gamaliel and learning year after year after year, and then after God called him, more than 30 years he went away to get the message and understanding Christ, and then came back and began to tell the people what everything was about. You mean to tell me that Brother Pike is going to get up here and preach and he don't understand? Folks, I'm telling you from my heart, if I don't understand, I need to sit down and let somebody get up here that does understand. I'd hate to know even the people in the world's got more sense than that. You know, if I was going to college and I was in the world, I wouldn't want to go to a professor that stood up there and say, well, I'm going to tell you about whatever today. You know, I don't know, from chemistry to geometry, whatever he's teaching. I don't know what. You know, he's standing up there and said, I'm going to tell you, I don't understand the thing, but I'm going to teach you.
You know, I wouldn't want to do that. Now, maybe you would want to do that, but I wouldn't want to do that. See, and I don't want to go to no church to where a preacher tells me that he don't understand what he's talking about. I don't want to do that. I do understand. I thank God that I do understand. I pray to God to understand day and night. And I do understand. You might say, well, I don't think you do. Well, I'm sorry about you and your thoughts. I'm talking about me and my thoughts. I do understand. I thank God that I understand. I praise God for it. Not because I'm some great fellow. Not because I've been some person that has been such a person to sacrifice and merit the things of God. That isn't the reason that I understand. When God called me to the ministry, I wasn't looking for the ministry. Let's be honest, folks. I wasn't looking for salvation, and I wasn't looking for God, and I wasn't looking for the ministry. I had my mind on making me some money and building me a house and buying me some land, and I was just like the rest of them that's out there in the world today. I didn't care about religion. I didn't want to be around religion. I wasn't interested in religion. But somehow or another, I was a chosen vessel by God. And so one day, while I was in this big to-do, making money and building me a little house and getting me some ground and preparing for the future and could care less whether it was a God or whether it wasn't a God, as long as I could get along and keep on eating and drinking. And all of a sudden, working at night, I was working at night doing some extra work. I'd been working in the daytime. I was trying to work on my little old house, and I was working at night. And there, as I've told you a number of times, trying to refinish a floor. Right then and there, while we was working with lacquer, some kind of a stuff that overcomes you like a gas. And there I was, all of a sudden I was a-laughing. The other boy was a-laughing, and the more he laughed, the more I laughed, and the more we talked, the funnier it got. And finally I said, wait a minute. I got scared. I said, oh my, something's wrong. I said, what he's saying ain't that funny, and I just can't stop laughing. And then I said, oh my, I know what's happened. I've done got gas. And I jumped up and I run to the door. And when I hit the door, it was probably about this time of night. And I hit that door. And when I hit that door, that air tried to get into my lungs. And it couldn't get in because my lungs was full of gas. And all of a sudden, I just went crazy. I just lost my human senses. I looked and there was the end of the world. I stood on the front porch and there was the end of the world. There I was in a pitiful condition. And all of a sudden I lost my balance and began to get dizzy, and down the steps I went. This is the truth before God if I've ever told it in my life. And I stood there out there in the dark like it is now on that green lawn, and I was going around and around like that. And I thought in my mind that I was a lunatic. I thought, now I'm a lunatic dancing under the stars. And I was just as loony as the world says. I was just as crazy as I could be. And all of a sudden, this went over a little bit, and all of a sudden, down I went. And when I went down, the next thing I knew, there was a woman. I don't know who she was and where she came from, but she was washing my face off. And I began to come to myself and come to my senses. I thought, oh my God, what has happened to me? You know, now, folks, don't do like that. Don't get yourself in such a condition where God has to do you like that. God has spoken to me before. I'd heard the ministry before. I'd heard the word of God, but I couldn't care less about it at that time. So then don't do that. Don't keep on when the preacher tells you and have to go through the horrible, hideous nightmare that I went through. It messed me up in my breathing. I couldn't breathe. I was just one big mess. And finally, when I got home, there in the bed, couldn't get straightened out, day or two passed, and I began to think about God. And I began to say, oh my God, Lord help me. You know, and I began to remember there was a God. And I began to call on God, and I said, my God, if you'll help me, if you'll get me off of this bed, I'll live for you for the rest of my life. I don't know God, I don't understand, but whatever it takes, I'll do it, God. Lord, I won't smoke, and I won't do this, and I won't do that, you know. And the Bible said all a man's got is gift for his life. And there I laid on the bed, and I found myself, folks. I said, God, I'll tell you what, if you'll get me up from here, I'll preach for you. I didn't even know what preaching was. I didn't know what a preacher was. I didn't know, hardly know what the Bible was. But I would do anything, you know. It didn't make no difference to me. Whatever it took to get me up from there, I just want to get up from there. And I said, Lord, you just do something for me. Well, believe it or not, God got me up. And I began to recover. I thought, oh my God, Lord, I'm coming back. I'm coming back to my senses, and I'm coming back to my understanding, and I'm coming back to my breathing. Oh, God, Lord, I don't know how to preach. I don't know nothing. And this is why I said all of that, folks. I prayed to God. I got down on my face. When I realized that I was called to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thought, my God, what am I going to say? What am I going to tell them? I don't know what to say to them people. But the thought would have been, but you better preach. You said you would preach. And I thought, Lord, I don't know. And I cried. I got away by myself. And I'd get out in any place I could find. And I'd bawl like a little old bitty baby. And I'd say, oh, Lord, help me. Lord, please help me. And I just cry, you know, I just broke all to pieces. And I said, Lord, please help me. I don't know what to say, Lord. And I'm afraid I'll tell them something wrong and they'll go to hell and we'll all go to hell, Lord. I said, and I'd cry the more. I said, my God, you've got to tell me something. You've got to help me. And I'd say, Lord, help me, help me. And I turned over there one day reading the Bible, and I read where Solomon went before God, and Solomon asked the Lord something. And Solomon said, I can't go in and out before your people. Said, they're so great of people. Said, I just can't do it. Like Moses. Moses said, I'm not eloquent. I can't do that. All of them was that way. I said, I can't do that, Lord. So the Lord said to me, said, read this. I read it. You know, I didn't know the Lord was talking to me. It has come to my mind. So I read it. And Solomon asked God for wisdom. And Solomon said, Lord, give me wisdom that I might be able to go in and out among this people. There's so many thousands of people. What am I going to do? I don't know. I'm like a child. And the Bible said that God looked down on Solomon and said, Solomon, because you've done this, this pleases me well. You've not asked me for long life, and you've not asked me for riches, and you've not asked me for fame, popularity. He went on down the line. He named a number of things. I don't remember just what it was. But he said, you've not asked me for these things. He said, but you've asked me for wisdom to guide my people. He said, because of that, I'm going to give you wisdom. Great wisdom, he said, like no man's had before you and none coming after you, Solomon. He said, I'm going to give you great wisdom. And he said, this wisdom is going to be so great, Solomon. And he said, and besides that, all these things that you didn't ask me for, he began to tell him how he was going to give him riches and give him all these things. Well, I wasn't concerned at that time about riches, but I was about that understanding. And I guess that's why the Lord looked at it like he did. I was concerned about the understanding. I just had my mind on the understanding. I said, I got to understand something. God came to me. God blessed me. God opened my understanding. And today I can truthfully say from the bottom of my heart, so far as I know, telling the truth, I do not know of anything anywhere in books, in magazines, in education, in the Bible. I do not know of anything in any man that I've ever met or any place in the world I've ever been that troubles me to the point that I can't understand it. I don't know of anything. Since that day, God has opened up heaven and earth to me. You say, oh, you think you got as much as Solomon? Oh, you got more wisdom than Solomon? Let me tell you something, folks. I say this reverently, a greater than Solomon is here. Solomon didn't get to first base concerning the things that God gave me. You say, Brother Pike, what in the world are you talking about? I'm talking about the love of God. I'm talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Solomon didn't have the revelation of Jesus Christ. It wasn't given in his day. So far as wisdom, there's never been a man to excel Solomon's wisdom. But brothers and sisters, we are sons and daughters of God. The Bible said, now is made known unto the church, the Son and daughters of God, the manifold wisdom of Almighty God, even to the heavenly places, even to the principalities and powers yonder in glory. And the Bible said, you have an unction from the Holy One that ye should know all things. And God set my faith to believe that. And I do believe that. And God has given me that blessing. And I said that to say this, we need to do something for Christ. A minister come in here a number of years ago. And he said, I was over in such and such a place in another state. He said, I heard the voice of God said, go tell George Pike I'm going to give him wisdom like I did Solomon. You know, and I appreciate that. I thank God for that. Because any time a brother tells me anything that encourages me, I thank God for it. But folks, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the knowledge of God. I'm looking for the understanding of God. I'm not wanting to be smart. I'm not wanting to be wise. Solomon said, why make yourself wise, overwise, and destroy yourself? I don't want to be overwise. I'm not interested in that. I just love the revelation of the Son of God. I love for that word to be unveiled to me, to where I can know that beyond the veil, that wonderful thing is there. And I'm not planning to go back, and I'm not looking back into Egypt, and I don't have any plans back there, and I'm not conniving, I'm not trying to build up something to take anybody in. I'm not doing that. I'm not interested in that. I thank God that I can breathe. I thank God that I'm not insane. I thank God that I'm not a lunatic. I thank God that my health is still here. My strength is still here. I thank God that He's given me. He's blessed me with riches, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. I thank God for that, but I could care less about that end of it. Talking to Him yesterday, talking to Him today. I tell you what, my cup runs over. I think about God and I think, Lord, I've got eternal life. I am so happy. I rejoice because I've got eternal life. I think, my God, how glorious this is. I mean it, folks. There's a stream on the inside of me. I stand here and watch the fountain through the doors, and I see that fountain throw itself way up into the air. You know, that's the way it is on the inside. David said, my cup runs over. Out of my innermost being, there flows rivers of living water. Out of your innermost being, the Bible said, rivers of living water come. And I thank God there, that wonderful overflowing well of God on the inside. And I'm thankful for it, folks. That's why God wants you to walk straight. He wants you to follow the wisdom of God, follow the knowledge of God. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O thou harlot. The church has turned into a harlot out there. They've become a harlot. They've brought in every unclean, dirty thing there is out there. The preachers are dirty and filthy. The congregation is dirty and filthy. I preached the other night. The Bible said the whole land is filthy from one end to another. And said all of the people are filthy. And there is none clean, no, not one of them is clean, except them that's been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said your own righteousness, it doesn't matter what you do with your church ritualistic. Jesus said you are as filthy rags when you finish. There is no righteousness except that that be of God, which is the faith of Christ Jesus. So then when we read the Bible, and when we understand the wonderful things of God, then God requires it of us. The Bible said to that servant that understandeth to do his Lord's will and doeth it not. The Bible said he shall be beaten with many stripes. And even if you don't know the Lord's will in that you've not applied yourself, the Bible said you shall be beaten but with few stripes. So then you that know the Lord's will, you that know to do the things of God, don't marvel when death comes over to your house. Don't marvel when sorrow comes over to your house. Don't marvel when heartaches comes over to your house. Because you knew better. God told you and you knew better. You shouldn't have ever done it. You shouldn't have ever done it. If the angels in heaven receive a just recompense of reward every time that they transgress against God, then the Bible said, how shall ye escape? So then don't do that. Don't get off on a little old thing out here and say, well, God, I'm so cast down, and God, you know, I'm so hurt, and God, they've done me wrong, and God, you understand, God, and I think I'll just go fishing. Peter said, you're liable to meet him walking on the water, and he might ask you why you're out there fishing. He might say, didn't I tell you to go fish for men? And he might come out there to find out what's going on with you. Don't you get all melancholy and cast down and use that as a crutch to sin against God and to do the things to satisfy your passions and grab your bottle of brew and run out there and say, Lord, you know how they've done me, and turn up that bottle of beer. One day God will come to your door and the powers of death will knock on your door and say, why did you commit that evil and that wrong, knowing that you sin against God? Oh, folks, don't do it. I tell you in the name of the Lord, don't do it. It's sad when you hold a little baby in your arm, that little dead baby, after the preacher's warned you. It's sad when you look and see a dead loved one down in the casket after the preacher's warned you. You know, you come to these things through life. You have to really pray and walk with God, because these things come to you whether you live right or don't live right. they come to your house. But it's sad when it comes because of those things. When it comes to your house because of those things. See, God has no pleasure in death. God hath no pleasure in suffering. God hath no pleasure in those things. Don't do those things. Listen to me now. Not too long ago, a woman was dying. Why was she dying? Because she played the harlot. She took another woman's husband. And it like to cost her life. I warned the woman. I warned the man. The man's going to meet head on after a while as the dart strikes through the liver. You'll hear, watch and see. I'm telling you the truth. But you know what? She reaped it. There came a woman by that did her the same way and took her husband. Took him off. The same devil that caused him to run off and leave one, to leave one, caused him to run off to leave the other. See? Don't do that. Don't do that. You get you a husband. If you're a young girl, you set your affection on a husband. You get your husband. Don't you mess with another woman's husband, you devil. If that's the kind of person you are, I said, you devil, you leave that man alone. You go somewhere and let God deliver you from the devil. And then you get you one of your own. And man, let me tell you something. Don't you run around after another man's wife or try to defile another man's daughter, you devil. You get that devil out of you and go find you a woman of your own. There's plenty of women out there in the world. Plenty of men out there in the world. Go out there and pick some. Get some fruit off your own tree. Leave another man's orchard alone. There's a little sign there that says, no trespassing. This belongs to somebody. And God will get you. The first news you know, He'll get you for that. So then you love your own. You walk with your own. You feed from your own tree. You drink from your own cistern. Don't be a thief. Don't be a robber. Don't be something in your mind that's always muddled up. Can't get out of the old thoughts of adultery and fornication and evil and filth. Get your mind out of the garbage can and out of the hog pens. Let the Lord wash you up. Let the Lord clean you up. Meditate in His laws day and night, and them other things won't be up there. Give your mind to God. Give your spirit to God. All the paths of God are peace. When you do that, you'll have a good home. You'll have a good harvest. God will give you peace, and you can walk in the right way. And I'll tell you what, down the road, it won't be death, and it won't be heartaches, and it won't be sorrow. You won't be sitting off in a corner weeping. I know of numbers of women, numbers of men that have went down the trail of sorrow. And today, many of them are still sitting in a corner, reaping. They would give anything if they could get out of it. A girl sitting here, a young woman, not too long ago, she'd done the very same thing. And she spent numbers of years before God would even look at her and give her a husband. After she had her little temper, had her little fits, and done her little thing. And then after she finally straightened up and got to be the right kind of person, God gave her a home. I know of some men, it comes right here, that they don't have a wife and they don't have companionship and they haven't had it in years. Though they desire it. Somebody said, well, they just don't want one. No, it isn't that. They personally talk with me. I've had some of them to come and even get upset at me. Said, Brother Pike, you said God was going to give me a wife and He ain't give me a wife yet. And of course, God gave him a wife. Then after a while, he run off and left her. Had them like that. But there's men here that desire companionship. But you know what? They can't get a wife. They can't get married. Everything they go to do blows up in their face. You know why? Because they were a fornicator before they ever come to God, in one of the worst kinds, some of them. And then after they got the knowledge of God, they continued to do that. And when they really did try to get straightened up, God was so upset at them that He took companionship away from them to make them pay for their wrongs. And I mean for years, folks. Don't do those things. Don't fall into the trap. The Bible said that God will deliver you to the judge. The judge will deliver you to the jailer. And the jailer shall put you in jail and you won't come out till you pay the uttermost farthing. So don't do that. Don't do that. Agree quickly with thine adversary whilst thou art in the way, lest at any time he deliver thee to the judge. See, don't mess with what he's got. Don't bother him. Don't trouble him. Get straight. The end of the world is here. And oh, folks, tonight, if you had any idea what is happening, if you had any idea as to what this day has to do with and what has just happened, just any idea at all, you wouldn't be able to contain yourself either one way or another. But the Lord doesn't want you to know if you're not going to walk right, because you just go out and kill yourself. You couldn't stay within your right mind. You couldn't do it. The torment and the torture like Judas. Though Judas knew there was a hell, he knew what he was doing, but he still couldn't live with himself. He went out and hanged himself. All right, I want you to stand with me if you will. Just a few little words tonight to exhort you and let you know how we feel and what's taking place. You know, things that easy to be understood, things that you can understand. Trying to tell you. See now, look, folks, if you don't honor these, if you don't obey these, if you cross me up on these, if you cross the Lord up on these, then there's no need to look for nothing spiritual. Because these are just the preliminaries. This is just the preliminary side of life. This is just the thing for the babies. Just things just for your natural side of life to help you keep you straight to where you can get into the Spirit. And if you don't do these, how in the world are you going to get that deep mystery of God that He's got for you? And He sure wants you to have it. This is just some of the basics of life. You know, you go in the army, you go through the basics. This is just kind of the basics of life. All right, let's sing a song together. Brother Pike has not tried to offend you or hurt you. I'm not here for that purpose. I'm here to tell you about Jesus, tell you about the love of God. Lead you, I want to help you. I'll do anything I can for you. I'd like to spend and be spent for you. It's my joy to be used up altogether just for the sake of the Heavenly Father and His people. That rejoices my heart. But there's one thing that I don't want. I don't want judgment coming to your house. And it's going to come. It's going to come. You know, it's going to come. You got to pray. You got to seek the Lord. So, whatever you do, listen. Give the more heed to the things you've heard, lest you let them slip. Take heed how that you hear them. Because if you don't, then the judgments are going to come. Then the sorrows are going to come. You know, do right, folks. Let me tell you something that'll help you. You know, God's always using people. It's like being up at Elijah Park, opened my Bible. There was a little marker that Brother Dale Clark had given me. And I thought, now, Lord, you're telling me something. See, and here on this little thing that Dale gave me, it said, the new way. And I thought, now, Elijah Clark, Dale Clark, Clark County, some things have been happening. The new way. See, God's always using us. A lot of times we don't know it, but He's using us. But beware lest Satan trip you up. You know, the devil, we're not ignorant of his devices. Been down a lot of trails. And the devil will say, you know, let me tell you about Jesus. You know, he talks about Jesus too. How many of you know that? About the word of the Lord. So I know you heard the preacher preached. Come over to my place. And I'll help you. It's hard for you to understand, you know. And the man says, now I know, you know, I understand. I'm one of them folks. You know, I understand your problems and your heartaches. And he says, now if you'll just, like a man not too long ago, I told my wife, I told some of the brethren, I said, the Lord revealed to me that this man is fixing to fall. A woman's fixing to overthrow him. Numbers of men I spoke of like that. A great man not too long ago in Macon, Georgia, I set it up. It happened. He had been clean, I mean all of his life. Great man. But that quick, she got him. And then she wrote papers stating that she tripped him up to kill his ministry. Great man. Clean, upright man. But anyway, I told someone, I said, this man, another man that is, he's going to get overthrown. I said, I'm going to him. I'm going to talk with him. I did. But he was so lifted up within himself. He was so sure that he was sure that he was sure that he was as blind as he could be. Great figure among the people all over the nations, on the radio world. Well, anyway, he respected me.
He liked me, believed in my message, you know, fellowshiped me, but as far, so far as incorporating in his life the things that I told him as the warning, he didn't do it.
Well, he later told me this story. He was overthrown. He said, Brother Pike, said the thing happened so sneaky, said in such a way, said he couldn't hardly believe it. Said I just went down to a store to get a loaf of bread. And said this woman was running the store late in the evening. And said this woman, you know, I just spoke to her. She spoke to me, you know, was getting my bread. And during that time, exchanged one or two words about, you know, she was having problems. And what is the problem? You know, he's a minister. Ministers want to know what the problem is. They want to help folks. She said, well, my husband went off and left. And from that, another word, and another word, and another word. And soon, he had run off and left his wife. And he and the woman had run off together. You understand what I'm saying? That's why I say some of you women, I don't mean that wrong. You need to get a little understanding. You need to quit thinking so highly of your husband to the extent that you put him above a human being. Some of you are so arrogant and hard to get along with and hard-headed, you can't hardly live with you. And then you get so blind when another woman does come into the picture that you think ain't nothing wrong. You think, oh no, when I look in my, you know, at my face in the mirror, some folks feel like they could kiss their own selves. They're so pretty. Oh, you say, no, Brother Pike. Yeah, I've related some of it to you. How that one man that came to this church told me, said, when I look in the mirror, said, I can't hardly believe my own eyes when I look at myself. Hey, folks like that, you know. There's people that had put lipstick and paint on and then kiss the mirror and say, honey, you just don't know how pretty you are. That's the kind of world we're living in. Well, anyway, I'm just saying this. You know, that boy thought he could handle it, but he found out he couldn't. Solomon said, you don't take fire to your bosom unless you get burned. See, so the boy, he wrecked his life. A young minister, but he wrecked his life. He ain't never had no minister since. It's just been a mess ever since. And I'm just saying this to you, that you men get that thing out of your head. Don't you have enough sense to know that if Brother Pike stands here or any other ministers and preaches the gospel and preaches it the way that it should be preached, that there ain't nothing more you can do? And that when you start that, that's a devil that's got a hold of you. A devil of lust, and if that woman caters to it, or if she goes to seeking you out when you haven't sought her out, that she's got a devil, that if she wants to do right, the Word of God is here, and the minister's here to preach to her before all the men and women, and that if she wants to do right, she can do right, and when you get your little secret nooks off somewhere and you got to do this, don't you know that you are an adulterer? And that you've already committed adultery and whoredom with her, and she's already committed whoredom with you. Just your plans got you into that. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, Jesus at the well. I know Jesus at the well didn't have a wife. Jesus wasn't married. I'm speaking naturally. He didn't have a wife. He was a single man. And then besides that, he could handle it. He was God. He did handle it. Now, that's why he rebuked her like he did. You don't have any business with them kind of things. If you want to talk to a woman, if she needs help and there ain't no preacher around, you're the only preacher, take your wife and sit down and talk with her. And don't do like somebody, you know, as you would say, stick a rag in your wife's mouth to where she can't say nothing, and you and the woman just like this all the time. You know, let your wife breathe once in a while and let her say something. And I know sometimes that there's people that need the gospel and things need to be said to them. But I'm going to tell you something, wives. You play around with them other women and watch and see. And the first news you know, you ain't going to have no husband. I had a man that was a friend of mine, a fine fellow, fine looking man. Any woman would want him for a husband as far as the, you know, average husband. And I knew of another man. That average person wouldn't even notice the man. But this man considered him to be his friend and took him into his house. And he said, Brother Pike, he said, you know, it wasn't long since my wife was gone with him. I don't care how ugly a woman is, you put her in a house around a man, and something about her is going to become more attractive. More attractive. And he's going to see something more pleasing about her. Why? Because man and woman is made for each other. That's why. You put a man in the house, I don't care how much your wife says, why do you scold me? I didn't think like that. Don't you pay any attention to it? Like in the Old Testament, when the spirit of lust came on a person, they had a test. They gave this woman some water. When this spirit of jealousy that has come on the man, spirit of lust come on the woman, to prove whether or not she was straight, they would give her water. The priest would give her water. If she was lying and the jealousy of her husband was of God, to let him know that his home was about to be tore up, her thighs would rot. The Bible said she would rot. You know, we could use some of that today. Sinful. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye harlot. So then, don't do that. You men, stop that on your jobs. You ride around with women. You talk with women. You meet with women. And he said, well, don't bother me. I'll stop and get me a hamburger, and I'll stop over this joint over here, and I have to eat my dinner. And yeah. You keep on. I know men. I know how it's been. I know. I've been with them. I know. I've watched them. You keep on. And the first news you know, you ain't going to have no salvation. Some of you ain't got none now because of that. You just come to church, that's all. All you ever do is ride, eat, drink, flirt, and everything else. I know two men I warned in Memphis. I warned one, two, three, four. I know four men that I warned. There are numbers of men that I warned. I can think of four of them that quit. I warned these two men. I said, you better stop it. You leave the wife at home. You got to go by, get your cup of coffee. You got to sit at the cafe. You got to talk a little bit. And you know, it wasn't long. Both of them men had lived with them women for years. Had a family. Grown children. But you know what? It wasn't long before that young girl got him, and that young girl got him. And both of them married young women, and off they went and left their families. Oh, Brother Pike, somebody says, "My, you just don't know my wife, and you just don't know my husband." Well, I'm glad I don't. You know, I'm glad I don't. All I know is what the Bible said, and the Bible said it's none good, no, not one, so that takes in the whole bunch. The only, he said, what I say to one, I say to all, you ain't got no good husband and you ain't got no good wife no more than my wife's got one and I got one. The thing is, you got a man and you got a woman, and that man and woman will stoop as low as a dog or a pig. I don't care whether they're preacher, whatever they call themselves, unless the grace of God is in their life and keeps them from it, they will do it. None good but him. But I tell you what, if you get born again and you love God and you get filled with the Spirit, the Bible said he that is righteous even as he is righteous. And you can be a holy, godly person. But I tell you, folks, if you get like that, you'll stay away from the opposite sex. You'll stop your foolishness. You'll stop your petting parties. You'll stop all this thing of trying to deceive your wife and tell your wife. You know, somebody say, you're just ignorant. I'm called to the ministry. Don't you know I can talk this woman? I can do. Don't you listen to that junk. That's junk. Don't you listen to that junk. You say, look here, you're a man, and she's the woman, and you call to preach, and whatever you say, that's what you say. But this is what I'm saying. You're married to me, and you ain't going to be married to both of us. You ain't going to live with both of us. You live with me, and that's it. If you want to stay with her, goodbye, I'm gone. Sounds pretty tight, don't it? If Jesus could get a whip, straighten his house out, and turn the tables over, you can say a few words. It'll be all right. All right, I love you. And I ain't trying to teach jealousy either. Don't you go off. You women, don't you go off from here. You know, with that, what do they call it? Sister Betty used to say they got a spirit of suspicion instead of a spirit of discernment. Don't you go off with a spirit of suspicion. Suspicion, every sister, everybody's trying to get your husband. And don't you go off suspicion, everybody's trying to get your wife. I got some news for you. A whole lot of folks wouldn't want your wife. A whole lot of folks wouldn't want your husband either. I know, because I've heard some of them say so. Let's sing a little chorus together. I love you. As a brother, sister, with all purity, I love you. I want to help you.
I want to see you go to heaven. I want to see you have a happy little home. I want to see you have a fine little wife, fine little husband, and one that loves you, wants to care for you, and to see your little children like olive plants about your table. You know, I don't want to see him die. I don't want to see him kill. I don't want to see nothing happen. A woman and a man come in here. Some of you are acquainted with them. Come in here not too long ago. I tried my best to warn the man, and the woman, she took to the shadows. She took off, going to do her thing. In a few days, she was killed on a railroad track. Started across a railroad, just walking up a railroad track. The woman was killed. Let's sing a song together, can we? Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in. Sing it with me now. Sing it with me. While the altars are open, you know, sometimes it sounds a little strong. Like a sermon I heard one time, I was down in Louisiana, and I was riding around with a brother, and the brother started to, all of a sudden, I heard over the radio a preacher. He was a preaching. I mean, he was a preaching. And I was riding along, and I thought, I asked that brother, I said, who in the world is that? Because it startled me. I thought, my lands, listen to that fellow scream out and holler. Go on. I mean, he sounded like he was chopping the trees down. I thought, I sure would love to know who he is. The brother, he just kind of went along a little bit, and then after a while, he said, that's you, Brother Pike. I thought, oh, my land, I'm on the other end of this thing. And I'll tell you, you know, they called that message clearing the books, clearing the books. And sometimes, you know, you don't really understand until you get on the other end of it. You shoot a man and it ain't so bad when you pull the trigger, but when he's doing the pulling of the trigger and you're on the other end, it's a different story altogether. But anyway, it was called clearing the books. And sometimes it gets a little bit strong. But tonight, if you'd like to come to the altar, you're welcome to come to the altar. If you'd love to come and talk with Jesus, and come talk with the Lord Jesus. He won't hurt you. He'll do you good. You know, there's coming another day if you live to see it. And every day is going to bring forth something out of your life. Out of your heart comes forth the daily issues of life. The Bible said, do thy diligence to keep thine heart, that these issues of life might be God issues and might be holy, and they might be the right thing. You know, I appreciate you, and I holler at you. It isn't because I don't respect you, and it isn't because I don't love you. Somebody says, well, you don't have to talk so loud. Well, see, the Lord commanded me. He said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. See, and the only thing I can do is lift up my voice like a trumpet. If the Lord has spoken, who can hold their peace? See, and I'm trying to tell you, it's hard to get people's attention. Did you know that? It's hard. You can't just get people's attention. It's hard. You have to lift up that voice like a trumpet. And then you'll get people's attention. And you want to live. You don't want to die. You know that you want to die. I don't want to die. You don't want to die. So what must you do? You must honor the Lord. You must honor the Lord with your substance. That's your body. You must honor the Lord with your mind. You must honor the Lord. Because if you don't honor the Lord, then folks, you're going to die. You're going to die. You know, death doesn't seem so bad. It doesn't seem so horrible when you talk about death, unless you're dying. But now when death comes around and death grabs you, and all of a sudden you're passing away, you're dying, then the subject about death changes altogether then. I know, because I done been down to death's door, and I can tell you it's a different situation altogether. When the angel of death comes and he reaches down to get you, and you realize how powerful and mighty he is and the strength that he has, you know, it's like a man.
he pops off at a man and he opens his mouth. And then that man reaches over and grabs him in the collar. And he isn't aware of the strength that that man's got. And that man rolls the collar up and says, "What did you say?" When death comes near, then you begin to think, folks. Really begin to think. When death comes close. So you need to stop and think before death comes close. Before death comes close. When it comes close, you really need to think. But you need to be in shape to where you can think the right things at that time. You need to think. And the thought you need to think is faith in God. And the thought you need to think is that I've been living for God, that I'm right with God. You really need to think. You know when death comes near. But you need to think before death comes near. And that is you need to think, "Oh God, I need your help. I need your strength. I need your direction. I need your guidance. I need you to lead me. I need you to help me." And He will help you. He will help you. He'll stand by you. He'll help you. He said to Jacob, He said, "I will help thee, thy worm, Jacob. I will help thee." But folks, you can't resist God, then you can't resist the man of God, and you can't resist the things of God, and then think God's going to help you, because He isn't going to help you. He isn't going to do that. You're going to have to do right. I lost a few of my congregation tonight because I preached the gospel, because I said the right things, because, as some ministers have said, the corn was shut down a little bit. That doesn't bother me. I've done that down through the years. Very few meetings I ever preached I didn't do that in. They'll be back. The others that don't come back, don't worry about them. Jesus said, "Father, I've not lost to one of them that you give me." They heard the gospel. That's all that was necessary. That's what we're supposed to do, is preach the gospel to them. One time, that's all we're supposed to hear. After that, they're charged to God. If they want to come back, that's good and well. But see, we're interested in the seed of God, the elect of God, and you're God's people. I know that some of you are not living like you ought to, and I understand that. But some of you are the elect of God. Some of you women are elect of God. You love the Lord. You clean up right, women. Some of you men are cleaning up right. You love the Lord. And some of you men and some of you women are just as dirty as pigs. All you ever do is watch some filthy thing on TV or listen to something where somebody's using your ear for a garbage can, or you're gossiping, backbiting, thinking the wrong thoughts, doing the wrong things, or whatever. Always in the wrong places. Never conforming to the wonderful ways of Christ. But for them that love the Lord, and to them that we can help get clean, or them that we can reach out unto the world, then I tell you, help me. Work with me. Stand with me. The men and the women. Paul had women workers, great women workers. He spoke of them. The Bible speaks of great women. You don't have to be a man to be great. But there's one thing you do have to be. You have to be clean. You have to be holy. You have to be right. I want you to lift your hands up. I want you to close your eyes. While we're standing here tonight, I want to pray with you before I have somebody to come dismiss you. I want to pray with you, and I want to ask God to help you. God to heal you, God to lead you, God. I want to supply your needs. Through this hot weather, you need God's protection. Hot weather is dangerous. You need God's protection. You know, I thank God tonight as I stand here. I've been up late, real late to the printing press. And we've been up so many times, all night long, all over the world, traveling. Couldn't get sleep night after night on a plane or a bus or somewhere. I've laid down on the highways. I've laid down in the woods. I've been out in the woods all night long right by myself. You know, but today I'm still healthy. I'm strong. I'm going on for God. I'm filled with His wonderful love and the exuberance of Christ. And the Lord has protected my health. I've been among diseases, all kind of things. And God has taken care of me. You know why? Because I love Jesus. I love the Lord Jesus. I believe in Christ. And I believe in His healing. And I've tried to be honest with Him, and He's been honest with me. I've not tried to deceive Him, nor has He tried to deceive me. And folks, that's what we need right there. So while you've got your hands up and got your eyes closed, I'm going to pray for you that God will heal you, that God will touch you, that God will help you. Father God of heaven, I lift my hands up to you tonight. And the first thing I do, O Father of heaven, as Jesus said, I know that thou hearest me, Father, and thou hearest me always. But in the name of your lovely Son tonight, I ask you to forgive my trespasses, forgive my sins. O Father, I ask you to forgive my brothers and sisters' trespasses and sins. And Heavenly Father, I ask you to look down tonight. I know that there's no sin in you, Jesus. And in your name, I ask this because there's no sin in your life. And I know the Father will grant it to me through your righteous life and through your lovely name. I want you to heal my brothers and sisters tonight. It doesn't matter, Father, what the disease is. It doesn't matter what their problem is. I want you to move their problems. I want you to heal their bodies. Move the diseases. Move the demon spirits. I want you to move the deceptive powers, Lord, that would try to overthrow them or cause them not to think right or to be right. I want you to protect them from wrecks and sorrows and heartaches. I want you to bless them, O God. Father, let them not try to deceive you. Let them not try to think wrong. Let them not try to be shrewd, lest sorrow come to their house. Though the warning come, Father, help them to escape those things, to be honest. Oh Lord, to be honest and straight. Dear wonderful God, bless my precious brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. Bless their children, their substance. Supply their needs physically, financially, spiritually, Father. Oh God, and go with them and give them great wisdom. Make soul winners out of them. Help them to be filled with this wonderful, wonderful glory of God. Lord, that it might bring them into that wonderful, eternal life. I ask you to do this tonight. I know, Father, that you want to heal them. Lord, you proved that by Calvary. And you went the extra mile, Father, as we say in the world, to see that they would be healed. So I know that you've done all that was possible, godly possible, that they might have healing. So I know you're pressing in to heal them, and you want to heal them, and you're trying to get to them. And we don't have to beg you to heal them. We don't have to ask you to heal them. Lord, you're trying your very best to get to them. And the only thing that's standing between you and them is their unbelief in your mercy and salvation and grace and concern that was put on exhibit through Jesus Christ our Lord, as to the love for us that you had. So tonight, help them to comprehend your love and realize that you're their fellow. And dear God, that you feel their infirmities, that you came in a human body so that you could. And Lord, that it is your pleasure to heal them. Irregardless to what it is, there's nothing too hard for you. And it is your burning desire, Lord, for them just to open that faith up so you can run and grab them into your arms and heal them of all of their diseases and move all of their sorrows and bring peace of mind to their heart and to their life. I felt the yoke break then, Jesus. Lord, I felt faith go out to you. And I felt the yoke break. And I thank you, Lord, because where your spirit is, there's freedom. And I thank you tonight for that wonderful, wonderful blessing that comes down from God. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus while our brother Dale comes up to dismiss us, if he will. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul for my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me like this. For we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more.
And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing it one more time then? For we've anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe. Sing it one more time, can you? For we've anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe. Can you lift your hands up and love the Lord? Close your eyes. For I've anchored my soul.